This is young Dr. Mike Roizen with you, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast. You can get it on demand every Tuesday morning. It launches at 7 a.m. iHeartRadio and RadioMD.com. Go to the iTunes store. You can get it, sign up for them, and you can also review everyone after you see it. We're with the top medical news of the week. This is podcast 805, released today on 9/13/16. So our guest for the day of Overcoming Destructive Anger, Strategies That Work by Dr. Bernard Golden, and I have a surprise guest for you on how you can get rid of that text neck if you have one. But let's go to the news of the week. It's sensational news this week. That's right. With record-breaking temperatures this summer, the Northeast is seeing an increase in pollen, and the first snowfall or freeze will definitely come later than usual. So what can you do about the pollen to reduce your allergies? One, sleep with your windows closed to prevent pollen from entering your home. You probably know that, and you probably know to recirculate the air in your car. That is, put that air conditioner on recirculate so you don't breathe in outdoor pollen. And when you start your car, don't have that on. That is, don't start with your air conditioner on. Let it circle, if you will, and get whatever is left in your car at the end of the prior drive out, and then turn on your air conditioner and turn it on with your recircle on it. Wash your face before bed, and every time you come in from outside, wash your hands and face is the first thing, and take off your shoes. Yeah, that old tradition of taking off the shoes at the door, that actually works at this time of year. Take a bath or shower before bed at night, and if you have pets, don't let them sleep in your bed. They're covered in pollen. Don't dry clothes outside. Use the indoor dryer and wear tight-fitting sunglasses to reduce eye itching. Ragweed isn't the only culprit, although it's the one I have the most of. So, talk about the other large allergens spread when it rains. That's mold. So if you're really itchy, scratchy, and sneezy after rain, you've probably got a mold allergy. And that's especially true after, if you will, thunderstorms. So, first thing, Northeast Ohio, and in fact, all of the Northeast will have a later freeze than usual, so expect your allergies for longer, and expect to use these precautions longer this year. The second item I wanted to cover in the news of the week, don't wait until you're old to fight getting old. And the good news, and there is good news. So every one of our functions, our heart function, our lung function, our liver function, kidney function, even our bone mass, muscle mass, all decline at about 5% a year after age, guess what age? It's age 30. So after age 30, we're on a downhill course unless we do something about it. And the good news is you can do something about it, but don't wait till your eyes are deteriorating. You know, people say, well, I'm going to have a common problem of dry eyes, so that's when I should start taking care of my eyes and get the xanthine and lutein and the DHA. No, start with that about age 30 for all of these functions. Start doing exercises routinely for your health and your strength. You say, I hate resistance exercise. I hate lifting against the weight. I hate doing push-ups. Or I hate even lifting my body squats. Learn to find something you really enjoy doing. Start jumping, especially jumping at age 30. Just do 20 jumps morning and evening, and you strengthen your bone mass. The good news, by the way, we've got a lot of great news in the news of the week. I should probably give you a tease about the other news items we're going to cover today, but I never know on a podcast how much I'm going to get done, so can't do that as easily as I normally do it, but we will summarize all of it at the end of our podcast. Our Well Beyond Wellness good or not, 50% increase in marijuana use, increase in the last decade. Our wellness foreplay, take it to heart. We've already done that. Pollen peaks near Labor Day. Why is this, by the way, important? Because the inflammation that pollen causes causes you to have rupture of those plaques. So it's not just a sneezing and itching reason that you should wash your hands and face or take off your shoes. It's for your heart as well and preventing strokes. Rethinking hormones to ease menopause symptoms. Say yes with aspirin. The Adomegas, yes, is the likely answer. What's the question? Ha! The question is your granola really a dessert? We're now talking about well beyond wellness, and don't wait till you're older to stay young. And the great news about getting older and wellness foreplay, edible sunscreens are a rage. Do they work? And celiac prevalence is steady, but gluten-free diets increase big time. Those are the ones we're going to get to. In addition to overcoming destructive anger, that book and our guest with Bernard Golden, Strategies That Work to Change Anger into a Healthy Habit. Well, the good news about aging, 5,000 people from San Diego ages 20 to 90 were surveyed. It turns out that as you get older, you get to handle stress better, and the older you are, the happier you are. There was no decline in happiness all the way from age 20 to age 90 plus. The people least happy were those in their 20s, early 20s, who seemed to have all the stress they had of life. So as you know, this is my the first time I've done this show as a podcast alone. I want to thank you, 49,000 people a week download the podcast. At least they have been downloading it for the last several weeks. We'll find out if that continues, and hopefully it will. Rethinking the use of hormones. Ever since the large government study called the Women's Health Initiative found a large number of risks associated with menopause hormones, millions of women who are in or near menopause have been weathering hot flashes and other symptoms on their own and not getting the benefits of the estrogen. Yeah, the estrogen has strong benefits, and I'm going to talk to you about it, and so does the progestin, and we'll talk about how to get those without the side effects. And every day, about 6,000 women in the United States, more than 2 million a year, enter menopause at the average age of 51. They stop having periods because the ovaries no longer produce enough estrogen to stimulate the growth of the uterine lining that is shed with each menstrual cycle. And in 2002, that Women's Health Initiative study came out, done with PremPro, that is a conjugated estrogen, Premarin, and a synthetic progestin, Provera. And those were the worst choices. Why? Because the conjugated estrogen didn't have all the benefits of the bioidentical estrogen, and the Provera, the acetated progestin, negated many of those effects. So how do you get around it? A bioidentical estrogen and a micronized progestin. They're both pharmaceutical grade now. They can be, if you will, Prometrium is the progestin, and there are many versions of the bioidentical estrogen. And then make sure you take two baby aspirin a day, because 70% of the complications from the estrogen-progestin combination are from clots. And you can decrease those radically with two baby aspirin with a half a glass of warm water before and after. You know, I really believe strongly enough in this that if your doc doesn't talk to you about aspirin at the same time they talk to you about hormone therapy, whether you're male or female, that's true with testosterone too. If your doc doesn't talk to you about aspirin at the same time, you probably should think about getting another doc. That's how important it is and how key it is. The utter futility of fad diets, in one chart, in this article in Lancet, another top medical news story this week, they looked at all of the diets, that is, the low-fat, the paleo, the low-carb, the gluten-free, and what did they find? That Yes, and every one of them, people lose weight, but on every one of them, they gained it back. Fad diets don't work. A steep drop in weight in the first 6 months on these diets didn't hold over the two-year period. So, the basic message, in the two-year period, you're not going to get the benefit of the fad diet. Now, I want to also say who are our upcoming guests we're going to have. Overcoming Destructive Anger, Strategies That Work by Dr. Bernard Golden in a few minutes. That's Podcast 805. Podcast 806, one of my favorite topics, What to Feed Your Baby, A Pediatrician's Guide to 11 Essential Foods by the great Tanya Altman. Podcast 807, Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month with cancer survivor, 20-year cancer survivor, Andrea Hertzberg. Podcast 808, The Power of When, Discover Your Chronotropic and the Best Time to Eat Lunch, Dinner, and the Best Time to Ask for a Raise, or Have Sex, Write a Novel, Take Your Meds, and more with Dr. Michael Bruce. He is one of the great sleep docs in the world. If you want to, send us any question you want me to ask him at udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. Podcast 809, coming up, Dr. Amy Myers, her new book, The Thyroid Connection, why you feel tired, brain fogged, and overnight, and how to get your life back, why, for the 27 million people who have it. Since we're doing this new, this podcast is 805, and we're going to talk to Dr. Bernard Golden, and I am on the Comrex email, the Comrex web, and if he is on, would you please let me know in the message part of that he is on. In the meantime, odd segments, and I apologize if Dr. Golden is on. So, podcast 806, we will start with a odd omega segment on celiac prevalence and gluten-free diets. But right now, let's talk to Dr. Bernard Golden. Dr. Golden has written this book, Overcoming Destructive Anger, a brilliantly written book, talking about how you can turn anger that is otherwise, if you will, a negative into healthy aging. He's founder of the Anger Management Education, has been a practicing psychologist for almost 40 years, author of Healthy Anger, How to Help Children and Teens Manage Their Anger and Unlocking Your Creative Genius. But this is a new book, Dr. Golden, Overcoming Destructive Anger, Strategies That Work. Dr. Golden, thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, I wondered if I can just, one of the crazy things in this book, which is so powerful, and it sounds crazy, but it is powerful, is how do you turn, well, let's get started, with how do you turn anger into a healthy thing?
Primarily, I think it's helpful to look at anger. It's a natural emotion. But it also gives us a lot of information if we can learn to pause and reflect on it rather than to react to it immediately. So if we listen to the anger, I kind of compare it to the cry of an infant. There's always some kind of distress going on behind it. And so taking time to identify what are the feelings or inner pain that pushes us into anger? What are my expectations that may make me more vulnerable to anger? Am I holding on too rigidly to them? Things like that.
So what purpose does anger serve in the first place? In other words, why would anyone ever have anger?
In many ways, if I compare it to that infant, we have anger as a reaction, one, to some sense of threat. We feel some threat, perceive it, whether it's real or not. By threat, I mean a threat to our body or a threat to our sense of self-worth, our resources, time, our finances, people we love. So there's some sense of threat, as well as other negative feelings. So I might be anxious and feeling threatened. That might push me into anger. I might feel ignored, discounted, powerless. All of those kinds of negative feelings that when we're angry, it distracts us from that. And the anger is an attempt to address that.
So is anger really just part of the stress response, fear, if you will, the fight-flight? It's kind of part of the fight of that anger, if you will, that stress response?
Very much so. We get, physiologically, we get ready to take a flight or fight. In most cases with anger, it's to fight, increase cortisol, and all systems go, so to speak. And it's a way to address that inner pain.
And is there a genetic component to it? In other words, if my father had an anger problem, am I likely to? Or if my mother had an anger problem? Or is there no genetic component?
There are some studies, recent research, suggesting that maybe there are some genes that predispose someone for more aggressive behavior. On the other hand, just like any aspect of personality, so much of whether or not those potential gene activation processes take place, whether they're triggered by the experiences a child has growing up. So the experiences we have can either bring those out or help reduce that potential. And so it's nature and nurture. And similarly, if you think of temperament, of an infant, you wave your hand in front of one, they kind of look at you, do that to another infant, and they get kind of a startle response. So some of us are more thin-skinned or thick-skinned.
And is it, in other words, when we have a predisposition, say, to type 2 diabetes, and two-thirds of Americans do, we can basically control that with exercise, and that is for type 2 diabetes, with exercise, physical activity, food choices and portion size, and managing stress. Can we do the same thing with anger? In other words, how controllable is it?
It's very controllable if you begin to look at it as a habit, and a habit of thinking, a habit of our body's reaction, a habit in our patterns of dealing with emotions. And when you look at it that way, it's something that takes time. But as an example, practicing relaxation exercises help people become more in touch with their bodies and sensitive to what it feels like to feel relaxed. And that takes rehearsal. So when they are angry, using anger as a signal to turn their attention inward, they could evoke that same calmness in their body. So practicing that, I have in my book, for example, an anger log to help keep track of triggers, expectations, and to see patterns in people's behavior, because we may have certain hot buttons, and by keeping patterns or an anger log, we get to know what those are. And the more we rehearse, we're developing new habits.
Now, in the book, you go through as you said, the anger log, the motivating force, for example, the need for a connection to love, control, stability, security, the expectation with your spouse is we're a couple, the triggering event then can be what, someone threatening to leave? What other triggering events are there?
Well, behind all of anger, there are these core desires, and it may be a sense for connection, for love, for respect. One client, and this has happened often, the sense of justice is being violated. For others, it may be a sense of safety, or if we have a sensitivity to feeling abandoned, those would make the person more vulnerable to feeling that threat.
We often see now, and maybe this is just on TV, but we often see a political debate between our two major candidates gets the commentators, that is, their, if you will, advocates or what are called surrogates on TV, very angry. Why are they? Is that just anger because they want the surrogate, they want their person to win, or is it because they're angry? Tell me the genesis of that anger. Is that the same type of anger or something different?
I think it's similar. If you think of feeling threatened, And increasingly, we tend to demonize people who don't have the same viewpoint, rather than looking at the backstory, that people are angry because they're hurting in some way, that they're feeling some pain. And if we could talk more about that and then talk about specific ways to address that. But we're seeing a lot of anger that becomes, in a sense, misdirected, and without discussing some of those real sense of hurt. And anger can be motivating, and fear, just like marketing. And I think that can be a very effective way in a campaign that only, for some people, unfortunately, increases their sense of threat and fear, which closes down being open to consideration of other people's viewpoints.
Now, so that's a tool that we should tell people is in this wonderful book by Bernard Golden, Overcoming Destructive Anger: Strategies That Work. What percent of people have what you would call a problem with anger? And when should the individual be concerned about it?
Well, people have a variety of reactions with anger. In fact, I spoke to my friends a while back, and they were saying, well, you must see people who are always explosive. And I said, you know, when people are highly self-critical, that's also a form of anger. And my friends looked at me and kind of surprised, because we internalize anger, and we may not think of a person being angry if they don't act it out. There are different forms of anger, and when person could use help is when they're maybe described by others as a hothead, or they find themselves angry several times a day or during a week, whether it's in the family or at work or across the board, including being on the road between family and work. There's no specific set of numbers in terms. But think of it as when there's a problem with the intensity of the anger, and even the person might even say, my anger seemed a little higher than for that and warranted by that situation. When there's a problem in duration, how long they remain angry, and the frequency. And those are some of the signs that someone could use help.
So in the book, Overcoming Destructive Anger, Strategies That Work, you give a number of, if you will, strategies. And you also do that, you must do this in your own practice. You've been practicing, I guess you've been as a practicing psychologist for 40 years, and as people say, you must see a lot of people acting out in your practice. What are the common strategies that work to change this from this, what most of us call negative, into a positive?
I mentioned doing those relaxation exercises or body scans to help people become more aware of their body, more sensitive, and so they can, in the moment, calm their body. If you calm your body, you calm your mind. Do a daily body check-in. Just a minute or two, just check in and do a scan to identify if you're feeling tense in any area of your body, doing that a couple of times a day, again, to become more aware. Do an emotional pulse, I call it emotional pulse check-in, several times a day. So you could identify, what are your feelings? Because when a person is angry, like I say, very often there's a distraction from feelings that are very uncomfortable, like feeling devalued or shame. And so doing a body, an emotional check-in helps them become more aware of that.
And once they're aware of it, then are there things other than, in other words, one of the common things you mentioned is meditation, which is one of the things we advocate everyone do for stress management, learn how a stress management technique is. So what I'm trying to get at is this really a form of stress, or is it different than stress?
I offered stress management workshops in the 70s, and I see anger, depression, anxiety, and physical symptoms as symptomatic of stress. And so, yes, overall, I see anger as a form of stress. And I do mention meditation, mindfulness meditation, both formal and informal. to observe our experiences without reacting to them. And mindfulness meditation helps do that. Similarly, compassion skills, and these are ways of being able to sit with the discomfort, evoking the part of ourselves, I call it the most compassionate parental nurturing part. If you think of being compassionate to others, how you can redirect it with yourself. And so I invite clients to sit with the anger as well as the anxiety or other feelings that trigger it, and tell themselves, actually, okay, this is what I'm feeling right now. This is a feeling. Feelings come and go. And through practice, they can sit with feelings again rather than react to them immediately.
One of the questions you deal with in the book is the, if you will, that anger log and what to do with the anger log once you've kept it. And you identify, I think, 19 steps for keeping anger healthy. What are the top few?
One is to set aside some time daily rather than trying to figure out how to fit it in. If you're seriously about working on anger, like I say, as a habit, it takes time. So to foster that commitment, scheduling it daily, do a body check-in daily. When you've completed an anger log, do it in writing, because a lot of my clients and other people who may just do it in their head, when you do it in writing, you are helped to better understand the event that just happened, as well as become more aware for the next time. And that's so much the goal, is to become increasingly aware for the next time, so you're less reactive. And keeping the log in a written form, it helps people see the patterns. It's like taking a magnifying glass to that experience that they're having internally and getting to better understand what's going on. And then identify, what is it I, if I want to share with others, what is it I need, and what is it I desire? That's what's behind anger, voicing and trying to get our desires met.
So it's, what do I need, what do I desire, what goal do I need met?
All right.
That's one of the keys.
Uh-huh.
Now, one of the other things that I think of, I try and do, is try and find the humor in situations and try and bring that up. Is that ever useful, or am I, it's just my approach?
No, I'm extremely, I completely agree. If people can find the humor, what that does, for example, in terms of being in traffic, I suggest that people, if someone cuts them off, picture the other person as a five-year-old with the adult head. And very quickly, someone will go give a kind of a, huh, that's interesting, well, that's silly. And I said, yes, that little reaction competes with going into the anger trajectory, the anger arousal. Another phrase I suggest to people when they recognize my expectation, I guess that was unrealistic. My conclusion about the event, I guess that wasn't really accurate. I suggest they just say a little phrase like, silly mind, just as to be able to laugh at ourselves, because our mind takes us in all directions. We have all kinds of thoughts. And yes, humor is a very powerful antidote to anger.
You're hearing Dr. Bernard Golden on You, the Owner's Manual radio show. Dr. Golden is the author of a very stimulating book, and it's not too big either, so you can actually go through this and work through it, Overcoming Destructive Anger, Strategies That Work. And as you can hear, he really is a pro at this field, and that comes through in the book, giving really these practical suggestions. One of the practical suggestions, I went and read, and I try and always read the book and beforehand, and Dr. Golden, I've got to apologize, I only got through a couple chapters, but one of the things I did read was how to help diffuse your partner's anger during conflict and anger arousal. And one of the things you talk about is making eye contact. And I wanted to know the difference between, so some people have told me you walk, when you're angry, you should walk, take a walk with your partner and try and talk it out. And that way you're not facing each other and you're avoiding eye contact. Tell me the differences between that.
I emphasize that if there's an argument going on, that people not yell at each other from across rooms or across the room, that initially there be some eye contact in terms of it's harder to yell and scream at your partner looking in their eyes. So that would be the very beginning part. In terms of discussing it, the issue, certainly just sitting down at that point, sitting on the most comfortable couch in the room because you want to become physically relaxed. And certainly taking a walk could be another effective way that you're walking in kind of parallel. There's not an ongoing, continuous eye contact, but I'm talking about the moment of intense anger and rage. One way to, rather than, like I say, yelling at a person who's not there, it's easier. If you're really loving and you really have some empathy for the other person, it's much harder to be at that level looking in their eyes. So this is just for the initial phase of it, of the conflict resolution, so to speak.
Well, I want to be respectful of your time and thank you. Dr. Golden has written the book, Overcoming Destructive Anger, a book that is on the Johns Hopkins University Press. It's available on Amazon as well. Overcoming Destructive Anger by Bernard Golden. I want to thank you, Dr. Golden, for informing people on You, the Owner's Manual podcast, and appreciate your time. And this is a wonderful book that goes through what I think is it's a really magnificent thing for those of us, and I guess it's almost all of us, have anger at one time or another.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And now I'm going to give a summary of all that we've been through on this podcast, all the medical stuff, and tell you that we have a great guest coming on. It is going to be talking about, if you will, the text neck. And so if Dr. Bang is there. Dr. Bang, are you there?
Yes, sir. Dr. Mike, how you doing?
Good. So text neck is an epidemic and could wreck your spine. And you've got a solution, a new solution, and I must tell you this is coming from the Cleveland Clinic Wellness Institute, where I'm currently chair. But have a deep interest in this issue. That is, a lot of us stare at a smartphone. If we do it at a 60-degree angle with a, if you will, our average 12-pound head, that's your average head is 12 pounds. If you turn it on your neck, you're at 60 degrees, you're putting 60 pounds of pressure on your neck. And maybe that's why many of us get a lot of neck pain. So you're a chiropractor,
yes,
and get to deal with neck pain. So how did you come up with this design for the pillow,
for the pillow?
What does this pillow do?
Well, so Dr. Mike, you're totally right. You get so much pressure put on your neck. And I was just, interestingly enough, reading this Pew Research Center report, and the amount of smartphones 5 years ago was only 35% of all adults. It's up to 68% now of all adults have a smartphone. So just like you said, looking down increases the neck pain because it puts additional amount of weight onto the neck. That's only going to get worse. And, you know, we start using them in our daily life, with our business and personal use, games alone. And the interesting thing enough is that $68 billion is spent on neck and back pain. And this was a research report done by WebMD. And crazy enough, that research was done a decade ago.
So a lot of us have neck pain. And why does this pillow, you've got a new pillow that, is that for sleeping on or for using during the day?
No, we wanted to identify So we wanted to identify what are the areas that we can affect with nexium, because it just keeps getting worse and worse, and it causes disability. It's one of the greatest causes of disability. So we said, all right, so you got kind of three major things. You have the sitting, the technology we just talked about, and the sleeping. So the technology, like you said, we give them correct posture. That helps. When they get stuck sitting, I give them the sage recommendation. You tell everybody, get your 10,000 steps. Get them up. Get them moving. So what was left was sleeping, because how many people sleep about 6 to 8 hours a day? That can be one third of your whole life. If you lived to be 90, you spent 30 years sleeping. That's a long time. So we said, all right, what does the research show? So I really got into the research, and I found that there were like kind of four major take-home points, but that no pillow on the market implemented those four key crucial research findings into their pillow. So that's what we decided to do. We teamed up with a really amazing, innovative company that's here, right here in Cleveland. And we put the best research in the minds of the Cleveland Clinic Wellness Department and this company together. And Enduring Wellness created this amazing pillow for us.
And what's the pillow called?
Four things. The pillow, it's called the Comfort Adjustable Pillow. And let me tell you these four solutions and why it seems to be the best one out there. So first of all, we've always known and research showed that cervical roll, like a simple roll that you could buy, physical therapists and chiropractors recommend them all the time, they restore the proper alignment. You're supposed to have a little banana curve like in your neck, and that gets lost from looking down at your smartphone, looking at your computer, or from injury. But the issue is you buy one cervical roll, maybe it fits you when you're laying on your back, but not on your side. And so Enduring Wellness created it. It's called a Comfort Core, and it has three different foam densities that you can easily change while sleeping to get the right firmness and the right shape to give you the proper cervical alignment either when you're sleeping on your side or when you're sleeping on your back. And then the research told us, well, the pillow also needs to sleep with very cool temperature so that you can get into a deep REM sleep. They had kind of two different types of material. You could go with latex or memory foam with some cooling channels engraven into the foam. And they chose to go with memory foam with the cooling channels because of the allergies of latex and the cost. Because we want to get this pillow into everyone's home so that it doesn't matter. I mean, I love the Cleveland Clinic because we talk about world-class care for every human life. We wanted a pillow that was affordable, too.
So
the third thing
the
that we found
again,
in the research.
So what I need
the
to
name
know,
of the,
pillow
the name again
is
the Comfort Adjust Pillow.
Comfort Adjust Pillow, and it's the one with the comfort bar. And where can they learn more about this and figure out how to order it?
So they can learn more about it by contacting the Cleveland Clinic Wellness Department. And we are launching our website soon enough that will have all the details and information. This is cutting-edge technology. That's another reason
What will the website be, do you know, and how do they order it?
Well, we don't have a website developed right in the makings of that website, so it hasn't been launched yet. But, Dr. Mike, I will be sure to get that for all your listeners as soon as we do have it. As of right now, like I said, they can always reach out to me, and you can email me. You can maybe add a link to your podcast, but my email is my last name, Bang, C-A-N-G, my first initial A for Andrew, at ccf.org, and I'll be happy to help them as soon as we're ready to order.
This is the first person I know first doc I know who's given out their website on our podcast. Hopefully you won't get too many people. It's Bang A.
Yes, sir.
Just so you know, this is podcast 805. By 808, I promise to have the website address, but in the meantime, it's bang, B-A-N-G-A, at ccf.org, and the Comfort Adjust Pillow. So by not having a website, you know you're getting a early introduction to the Comfort Adjust Pillow for neck pain. And I promise that I am going to buy one and will let you know how it works and whether it takes care of and makes my neck feel better over time. Thank you, Dr. Andy Bang. And now I'm going to summarize today's podcast, if you will, all of the information we had. We initially started talking about the aging, if you will, both paradox and how aging, you've got to start early, because aging starts at age 30 and is progressive. The earlier you start, the less aging you'll have. Start with jumping, start with resistance exercise, start with those other things in healthy nutrition. The earlier you start, the better and longer you'll be. With record-breaking temperatures, and by the way, there is an aging paradox. The older we get, the more we enjoy life, the happier we are. Key is we develop passions in life, and stress bothers us less. Pollen is peaking now, and it's going to be with us much longer than usual because it's been a warmer July and August. That keeps the ground from freezing, and it's the ground freezing that does in pollen, apparently. I thought it was just the flowers freezing, frost on the flowers, but they tell us, no, what can we do? Make sure you wash your hands and face when you come in. Take your shoes off. Use the recirculating button for air conditioning. Sleep with your windows closed. Take a bath or shower before bed at night. Don't let your pets sleep with you if they've been outside because they're covered in pollen. Don't dry clothes outside. Use an indoor dryer and wear tight-fitting sunglasses if you have eye itching. The next story was on the utter futility of fad diets. In one chart, you gain the weight back over a two-year period, no matter what you've lost in 6 weeks, so take a while. We did talk on our podcast with the author, Bernard Golden, Overcoming Destructive Anger Strategies That Work, podcast 806. We're going to talk about what to feed your baby, a pediatrician's guide to what are the 11 essential foods. Of course, we did talk about the Comfort Assist Pillow by Bang A, B-A-N-G-A, at ccf.org. He invited you to email him. The Power of When, Discover Your Chronotropic, and The Best Time to Eat Lunch, Ask for a Raise, Have Sex, Write a Novel, Take Your Meds, and More by Dr. Michael Bruce. That's going to be in Podcast 808. And by Podcast 809, About Thyroids, from Dr. Amy Myers, I will get you Dr. Bang's email, and not his email address, but his website, so you can order the Comfort Assist Pillow. You can order Dr. Bernard Golden's book, Overcoming Destructive Anger, from Amazon, of course. When we come back at podcast, I think the next podcast is 806. We're going to talk about edible sunscreens. Are they all the rage? Yes. Is there any proof they work? We'll come back and talk that, as well as celiac prevalence is steady, but gluten-free is increasing big time. Why? And we'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual podcast next week at 7 a.m. Tuesday. We will launch a new one. Stay tuned and enjoy our podcasts.